So much about baseball is known. The distance between the bases, 90 feet. The batting average of a good hitter, 300. And the velocity of a hard fastball, 95 miles per hour. Barry Svrluga's new book, The Grind, shows us what we may not know. No sport is as unrelenting as Major League Baseball. And during the 162 games squeezed into 185 days, plus spring training and the postseason. In 2004, Svrluga was assigned to cover the return of baseball to Washington, D.C. The nation's capital had gone without a major league team since 1971. In 2014, Svrluga wrote a series for the Washington Post about the personal toll that baseball takes, with each installment profiling a different character from the franchise. The Grind grew directly from that series, including the original six long-form pieces, plus updates and additional chapters. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Barry Svrluga to the program. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
Appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you being here. I find this entire subject fascinating. I remember a long time having a conversation with George Will about him making this very point that this is the hardest thing that any major league player has to go through is this, the grind, as you call it. You were looking at this through the eyes of the Washington Nationals, and at what point did you start to realize that, yes, indeed, it was very much a grind?
You know, it's interesting. When I first covered the team and the first season back in Washington was 2005, a player named Nick Johnson, who was the team's first baseman at the time, a good guy to talk to about baseball, if he was going through a bad time, and I'd kind of come up to him and say, how do you turn it around? What's the urgency? And his response was always, keep grinding. And I took it as kind of just a cliched athlete, thing to say to a reporter after a game. But after I left the Nationals beat, I went and covered the Washington Redskins of the NFL for four seasons, and I think it really took stepping away from baseball and looking at another sport to really appreciate the demands that baseball players are under. A football player who has a lousy practice on Wednesday and then another lousy practice on Thursday, we don't know what the impact that has on his Sunday performance, his 16 Sunday performances, 3 hours, just 16 times a year. If a baseball player goes 0-for-4 with three strikeouts and makes an error on a Wednesday night and does the same thing on a Thursday night, one, we see it, it's public. He'll be blamed. He'll have to answer questions about it. And two, the very next day, he'll have to come to the ballpark and try to put that behind him and stay in some sort of positive frame of mind and do it again. Because when things aren't going well, the season can be suffocating. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide from the fans and their eyes on you. And there's nowhere to hide because you don't get a break. The All-Star break is coming up. It's the only time Major League teams in a six-month span have two back-to-back days scheduled off, and so it's a much different animal to try to figure out and deal with and grapple with and succeed through.
Very early in the book, you talk to Ryan Zimmerman, who says all you can do is try to maintain and survive,
and that's really the mindset. Each day brings hope at one level. Because if you're in a slump, if you have a game that night, that's your first and best opportunity to turn it around. But you know, just the definition of the sport, no sport is more defined by failure than baseball, because the best hitters still fail 7 out of 10 times that they're at the plate. You have to have kind of a survivalist's mindset, because you know that there's not going to be 10 days in a row when you go 3-for-4 every night. There's more likely to be 10 days in a row where you go 1-for-4 or 0-for-4. So there's this weird balance between the urgency to make adjustments and turn around what might be a slump and the kind of reality of dealing with the everydayness and trying to understand that that's a natural thing to go through, and that if you come to the park with the same mindset every day and the same preparation physically and mentally every day, things will kind of take care of itself. It's totally a survivalist mentality.
Is there boredom?
There's boredom, but I also think that's part of the mental grind, I guess, in that you have to combat it. Don't discount that these guys know what they're doing and the opportunity afforded them. They know that they make millions of dollars in most cases, and that the fans who have come to the ballpark each and every night have paid good money to be there and to expect them to be at their best. So there's kind of a fear of failure, or a professionalism actually that makes them need to shove that boredom to the back. Now, that doesn't mean if you get to August 10th or August 20th and you're on kind of a losing team and you've got 100 games behind you, but you realize that means you've got 60 games to go. There's a monotony, and it's not just a monotony for the players. I think one of the things that I really wanted to do with the book was show that this schedule, this everydayness, this relentlessness, affects every part of an organization. So there's monotony and suffocation for the guys who arrange the road trips and travel with the team to make sure that everybody has everything they need to perform that night. There's monotony and difficulty for the players' families who might be in an unfamiliar city, and somebody could get traded in the middle of the season. They've got to pick up their lives and adjust. The tentacles of the season touch every part of a player's life.
You do write about that, the family life, and we meet Chelsea Desmond in the book, who's married to Ian Desmond, who's the national shortstop. And these are young guys. These are young guys who are just starting their families in many cases. And as you write in the chapter called The Wife, of what it is like for a young family and the strain that it puts on them.
Yeah, and so at the time that I chatted with Chelsea and Ian at their house outside of D.C., they had two young boys. Chelsea was pregnant with their third, who was eventually born last October. They were very careful and aware of expressing how blessed they were to be in this position where where Ian gets to live out his dream and make millions of dollars playing baseball, which is all he's ever wanted to do. However, I think what you realize in talking to a lot of these characters is that they want to raise their family in the way that they were raised and not be millionaires and be very normal. So they don't have nannies around 24 hours a day. Chelsea is helping to bring up their kids on her own a lot. When the team is away, she's a single mom for half the year. She goes to great lengths to make sure that they have time with their dad, and that means taking kids who are 3 and 4 years old and adjusting their sleep schedule over the course of the year to so that in the summer these toddlers are up at 11 o'clock at night when Ian's done playing, when he's done working, so they can have some family time before they go to bed, and then they sleep in the morning and get some more family time before Ian leaves for the ballpark at 1 p.m. I think people don't understand. A lot of times ballplayers are asked, well, what time do you get to the ballpark for a 7 o'clock game, like 5:30 or 6? And the answer is no. They get there at around 1 or 1:30 and begin their preparation. That has a trickle-down effect on how much time they can spend at home with their families, and the families make adjustments to fit that schedule.
One of the things that seems to come up when I was having the conversation before the show with the folks in the newsroom is, okay, but that same player is making $17.5 million a year. Does that help at all?
Oh, of course. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons that we infrequently hear these stories, because players, I think rightly, guard against being seen as complainers. They understand, and Ian Desmond went out of his way. In fact, when we were talking about, can we do this story? Can we make this work? Do you trust me to come to your place and learn about your life and talk to your wife and watch your kids and see how you live your life? he did not want to come off as some out-of-touch pro athlete because he doesn't consider himself that way. He said, you know, every day in Washington, D.C., I see military families. At the end of a 10-day road trip, my wife, Chelsea, knows I'm going to be home on that charter flight and I'm going to be able to hug the kids. A military wife who sees her soldier husband going off to an deployment for 6 or 9 months or whatever doesn't know whether her husband is going to come back alive. So they're very, very sensitive and aware of that and aware of how the fans allow them to have this lifestyle. If you strip away that layer, there is a logistical and kind of mental wear that money cannot buy away. No one is asked, they're not asking for people to feel sorry for themselves, for them, but there's a reality of their lives that people, I think, don't understand.
What does the winter bring? And obviously, before that, we should say all these teams are looking. Yes, there are these 162 games, but many you're hoping to play more than that, right?
You're hoping to play more than that, and even if you don't play more than that, say each year the season starts on or around April 1st. Everybody knows that great phrase for baseball fans, pitchers and catchers report. Well, pitchers and catchers report on or about Valentine's Day, February 14th, February 10th. That doesn't account for the players that are getting to their spring training sites early to either get over an injury and work on that, or just because they're anxious to get going. You're adding 7 or 8 weeks onto the front end of what already is the longest schedule. The NFL schedule from training camp through the end of the regular season is 5.5 months. The regular season portion of the Major League Baseball schedule is 6 full months plus 7 or 8 weeks at the start. So you're adding a month and a half at least on there, plus another month if you play deep into October. So the off season for a team that goes into the playoffs is very, very confined. And then it's also an era where, spring training is called spring training because that's when players from past eras would arrive and train their bodies and get into shape. Now, players are absolutely expected and need to arrive in shape, in baseball shape, so that they're not behind, so that they're not losing a job to somebody who's better prepared. So that's how the book kind of opens, is with a veteran player, Ryan Zimmerman, and what he does in the off season, even before he goes down to Florida to begin what people kind of typically think of as the grind.
The name of the book is The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. It is published by Blue Rider Press. Barry Sfraluga, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Really appreciate you having me. Thanks.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Grind. It is published by Blue Rider Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.